It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's episode 107 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm glad you're here because you're going to get to hear a fun chat I had with Joey Esposito, one of the creators of Captain Ultimate, a monkeybraincomics.com book that I really enjoy. He has created a lot of other books and has some other things in the pipeline. We had a good time talking and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening. Then we get to the latest news and previews, and I sprinkle in some of my reviews of certain books as I give my previews. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I'm talking today with Joey Esposito, one of the creators of Captain Ultimate, a comic that I really enjoy from monkeybraincomics.com. How are you doing today, Joey?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to talk with you. I love Captain Ultimate. I really do. I can't
wait. Man.
Every time it comes out, I'm rushing to get it from Comixology so I can get a good read of it. It's a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that you guys are doing this. There seems to be a trend of more fun comics coming up.
Yeah, totally.
And so I'm so glad I get to read variety. I mean, you know, the X-Men in their day, you had to fight your cousin's son twice removed on your father's side kind of stuff, and it was all this mucky stuff. But now what's going on is I'm glad we get to have a little fun in comics. Because, I love my Long John's characters. I like my serious stuff. Batman's my favorite character. But to see something as fun as Captain Ultimate is just such a great thing. I usually read that first thing because that gets me off to a good start. So
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really nice of you to say. And I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And, us too. Like, we love the dark and gritty stuff. We love Batman. We love, those sort of grim street-level heroes. But at the same time, there's so much of that we thought, let's do something different and let's do something fun that kids can read but adults can enjoy as well.
Yeah, because I imagine people, the whole family, like gathering around an iPad and reading Captain Ultimate, which is great. But why don't we just start off with like the name? I mean, even the name kind of brings a smile to my face. Captain Ultimate. I mean, was that the name you originally came up with for the book?
Yeah, that was the first and only name that we had. It's actually the way this all started was months, last year, I guess, I was sort of musing on Twitter about, I want to take like a public domain hero and reboot him or whatever, just because I can do that because he does not own by anybody. And then Ben sort of tweeted me, and we were friends at that point already. Let's do this together. And so we took it off the public forum and went to email and started talking about Captain Ultimate, which is an idea that Ben had been stewing for a little while, wasn't fully formed yet, and so we just sort of like went back and forth on that, and it ultimately became what Captain Ultimate number one is. He sort of had this idea to start with like the giant the robot alien monster and have the little kid be there and have him be the one that stands up to the monster, and that's what brings Captain Ultimate back. Mm-hmm. But we just thought the name is just, it just screams, Golden Age, like mm-hmm. classic hero, what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it fits really well.
Oh, it's so much fun. The very first one bought me. I was just looking at it and I said, this is a great fun book. And I was just curious to see where you're going to go with it. And you've introduced a villain and you've introduced a sidekick. You've introduced families and other people. You're filling out the whole thing around Captain Ultimate really nicely, and I like that very well.
Thank you.
Did you have these characters in mind when you guys first started talking, or did they kind of develop once you got into the character?
The first characters that we really tackled, Captain Ultimate in general, we had Lockdown and Milo, the little boy character. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the – I mean, really, Milo is the focus of the book. It's called Captain Ultimate, but it's really about Milo and what happens to his life when this character returns. Mm-hmm. But then from there, we also built the Super Revenging Society, who is this sort of like the quote-unquote Justice League of the Captain Ultimate universe, except mm-hmm. they're all like the grim and gritty heroes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they were the next characters that we developed. And, you know – whenever we get on, you know, we get on Skype and talk through story and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably every time we're just like, we end up talking about the Super Revenging Society and how great they are and the, you know, all the stories we want to do with them as well, mm-hmm. which I think is what's really exciting. And that's why we sort of keep introducing new characters, because we want this to be a universe that we can, you know, bounce around in and explore different parts of.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes me laugh. Their reaction to Captain Ultimate, they can't. They're angry with him.
Yeah.
You know, instead of thinking, oh, good, here's somebody else, a big guy can help us fight crime, they're mad at him for taking the spotlight away from them.
Exactly. And they're not very hero-like, you know.
No, but that's the way that a lot of comics are today. A lot of the people are not heroic.
Right.
You know, and there are a lot of people I know online who get really angry when they see, you know, the way Batman acts now as opposed to Adam West kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they get all unhappy about it. And I'm always like, well, you know, Batman can be anything. And there's this Legends of the Dark Knight series that DC puts out digital first.
Right.
And they do any Batman. I mean, you can do him from the 50s all the way through to the current age. And it's great fun to see. And I don't mind looking at different eras. And I think that's what makes Captain Ultimate so much fun, is that he's a great character. He's in what's kind of a more realistic world now than it was back in the first time he was here.
Right.
And so I'm very drawn into the whole thing. And the character himself is so much fun. He's kind of like, on some levels, he's an anti-hero to me. You know, they're watching a Halloween movie, and he's scared. He's behind the couch.
That's my favorite.
You know, he's there. And then, of course, he gets a milk mustache.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. There's so many things. He likes meatloaf.
Yep.
I don't know many people who like me. So he's one. And the whole thing to me is just, he's this great guy who's a good guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is he's strong enough to be himself instead of trying to kowtow and please other people in that way.
Exactly.
And I like that about him. He's such a great character. He's so much fun.
Well, thank
and
you.
And the thing I loved in his origin story, too, was that, you know, the milk mustache leads to the real mustache.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fun. The moment he gets the milk mustache, at that moment he's becoming Captain Ultimate.
Yeah, you know, and I love the origin too, because, you know, I guess this is spoilers, but it's been out for a few weeks now. But so we made him be a professional wrestler in his, you know, civilian life, so to speak, like an old time, you know, back when it was sort of like a traveling circus kind of thing. And he was a heel. He was a bad guy. The promoter made him be the bad guy, and of course all he wanted to do was just be the baby face, the good guy, just for once, you know, because that's his real personality. So I really liked that he was just sort of afforded this opportunity when, you know, under terrible circumstances with this guy coming back from the future and giving him this ultimate belt. But I like that dynamic of that character, and I think that's I'm glad that we went with that. I think it's an interesting thing to explore.
You know, I was reading a news story the other day, and it made me think about Captain Ultimate. They were talking about the appearance of a mustache versus the appearance of a beard.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept saying that a mustache is a villainous, evil-type person. Mm-hmm. And I went, really? I said, don't think that when I look at Captain Ultimate.
I think
that makes him – he's a mature guy is what I get out of that.
Right.
So I got a huge kick out of that. I said I said, I don't think that study's quite right. I don't quite get it. But it made me think about your character because, you know, he's a man that is somebody that you can respect, and yet he's still himself, which I just love that about him. Everybody else is always trying to be a certain kind of person, and he's not. He's just himself.
Yeah.
And I like that about that. I'm so glad you built him that way because, guys, it's much more fun to see him do that.
And
he deals with reality, and, you know, he's in the family's house, and, you know, he's still a real guy, you know?
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, is that we haven't really seen him employ any sort of secret identity. Like, he's just Captain Ultimate, and that's what the world knows him as. And so he feels this need to have, like, a separate life or try to, you know, act like he's, you know, the Clark Kent side of things. Like, he's just who he is, and that's fine with him.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of Clark Kent, of course, when he decides to go out on Halloween, who does he dress up as? But as a mild-mannered reporter. And that made me laugh out loud. I said, gee, I wonder which hero they're thinking of there when they do that.
Thank you. And I also love about that bit that everyone can totally – it's totally obvious. You can see right through it except for one of the band members. It's just like – I think he says, you know, no mild-mannered reporter geek is going to take an R candy or whatever. And it's just like, of course, the bad guys are just totally oblivious to it.
I just like that business with him. I like the way that he deals with people. He's very upfront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does not – there's no hiding. And, you know, I wish more heroes were like that, to be frank. I recommend this title to everybody I can because I just think it's such a change, especially those people who don't like the grim and gritty stuff of today.
Yeah.
They want to see a real hero, then I say, you need to check this out. This is the one you would like.
Well, thank you. So, I really appreciate that. You know, the word of mouth thing is really what keeps this book afloat, and so that's huge for us. Thank you.
Well, it's such a good book. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about Milo for a few minutes.
Sure.
In many ways, he's the adult in the room.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You know, he's the one that when they come across somebody who's had all their candy taken, he gives them his bag.
Totally.
You know, that's an adult kind of thing. You know, Captain Ultimate doesn't think of that. He does.
Right.
And I just thought that was such a great and interesting moment. I wonder who's going to learn from who in this relationship.
Exactly. And that's kind of the thing that we are planning on exploring. You know, Milo, he's in the first issue, he's sort of like this fish out of water because everyone's so into the Revenging Society and, you know, how they act and killing supervillains and things like that. Where Milo is really endeared by these old Captain Ultimate comics where heroes were heroes because they did the right thing because that's what you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's... You know, that's a huge part of him. And at the same time, Captain Ultimate, in this world, he doesn't remember, you know, the same way. Because we don't really know where he's been or where he's been up to. And that's something we'll get to eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, he's still sort of learning to adjust to all these new things and these new people that surround him. And I think their relationship is really strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, Milo, of course, takes to Ultimate, which is another thing. You know, that reminded me very much of Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sandwich Supreme and the Sorcerer Supreme and all this other stuff. There was that book that was done. And I got a kick out of Ultimate because I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have Ulta Boy and all these Ulta kind of things going on. The last issue that just came out, and that was number 4, they talked a little bit about Milo getting a costume
mm-hmm.
to wear. And so I knowing that in there, I thought you've got something planned for him with that.
We do indeed. And if you remember in the first issue, the sort of the narration that's in that issue ends on saying how the world would come to know Milo as Kid Ultimate.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
So we've been hinting at that, and we're going to get to that very soon, actually.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Because, you know, every time it's a treat, you know. Mm-hmm. When it comes out, I see that it's out, I'm after it because it's such a fun treat. Now, Milo, of course, is the product of his family, and I think it's neat that you include the family in the story.
Can I just tell you how much we love his parents? Like, Milo's dad in particular, it's just he's such a cornball. Mm-hmm. He's just so fun to write. And I love that he's as excited about the whole Captain Ultimate situation as Milo is, especially in issue 2, you know, they're high-fiving and all that kind of stuff. And his whole Shakespeare shtick in issue mm-hmm. 4 is just hilarious. So yeah, I mean, the family is definitely hugely important to us. And, if only just to reflect, you know, the people that are reading this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to say that's different from comics. Most comics, the parents are old and on the verge of death if they haven't died already.
Right.
And to actually have a family interaction, to have a healthy, normal family involved, I like that so much because, you know, we just don't see that in comics.
Right.
It's usually like if you're a teenager, the parents are long gone or they're drug addicts or whatever they're done. And or you're a mutant and you can never go back to your family because the parents somehow never got to be mutants and all.
Right.
So for me to see this healthy family, you know, going on. And I have to say, I love when the mother tells Captain Ultimate, you had better make sure he's all right.
And he's genuinely terrified of her.
Yeah. Which I like.
Yeah.
I, you know, the thing about it is these are real breathing people to me.
Thank you.
And I just think that, you know, I can't wait to see what they do next because there's so much fun involved with it.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a great – now, I have to say, too, that the art really fits the mode of Captain Ultimate, too.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who does the art just does a wonderful job.
He's fantastic.
I hope he stays with it as long as it goes because it's such a great complement to the plots and the stories. I really do like it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a co-creator with us. He owns, you know, a third of it like we all do. And there's absolutely no way I don't think we would do this without Boy. He's just so fantastic. We do want to do things like, you know, have other creators come in and, like, play in our world and that kind of stuff, like for little short stories or whatever. That's sometime down the line. But I think the core of Captain Ultimate is always going to be us three. And then our colorist, Ed Brzezowski, who also does a fantastic job. He's amazing. And our letterer, Adam Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
The whole team, I'm just super proud of all the work that they've done, and I think it looks great.
Do you get much feedback from people after they read the book?
Yeah, I mean, you know. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, because I always wonder, do families respond to this? Are kids the ones that are basically reading this? And that, because I have to say, when I read this book, I feel like I'm a kid again because it's got that vibrancy to it and that happiness to it. And so I was just wondering, as far as feedback goes, are you hearing from parents? Are you hearing from families or kids? What kind of response are you getting?
The usual response is from parents, which is fantastic. I mean, we got a really, really touching letter from a father who has an autistic son. And, you know, he just the kid never was super into comics, and it's hard for him to focus and things like that, you know. But I guess Captain Ultimate is the book that finally gave them that time with comics in hand to sort of have their time together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now that his son is sort of getting more interested in, like, Spider-Man and stuff like that. But it was Captain Ultimate that really showed him the medium and the world, and so that to me, like, that makes everything worthwhile to me.
Wow.
So, like,
wow.
Letters like that are really fantastic, or just,
wow,
you know, parents that have enjoyed it with their kids, or occasionally we'll get, like, tweets and stuff from you know, of people's kids reading the book on an iPad, and it's just, it's, I love it. It's totally, like, makes my day every single time, so.
Wow, that is amazing. That is something special.
Yeah.
I kind of knew this was special, though. I that's why I asked the question, is because I see so much, and now when I go to stores, I don't only see adults coming and buying. I see adults coming in with their kids, and they allow the kids to buy a certain number of books and stuff like that. And I just think, especially now with the digital first coming out and these kinds of things, that this is a way, especially kids now are more into iPads. Funny story. I was talking to somebody who works for a comics company, and he bought his daughter a book, and she stood there with her finger trying to flip it like it was an iPad. And so kids, you know, are very much into that, and I think that's why it's actually good that this started out on digital first.
Yeah, and that was part of our plan, too. You know, even if, like, we're so fortunate to be with Monkey Brain, because I love everything that they're doing, and Chris and Allison are so fantastic. But even if that hadn't panned out, our plan was to do digital first, because we felt like, especially for an all-ages book, that's where that untapped market is, you know. That's where, because kids are, like you said, they're just so tech savvy. They're just born now with, like, this sense of, like, how tablets work and things mm-hmm. like that. And so it's just, that's where I think you're really going to reach that specific audience. Mm-hmm. And of course, we want to go to print eventually, but I think mm-hmm. digital was definitely the way to go for our book in particular.
Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, you brought up a topic I did want to talk about, is that getting it printed.
Mm-hmm.
And have you started shopping around for a way to get this out in paper?
We haven't yet. We're still working on issue 5 right now, and I think issue 6 is going to be sort of the capper to what would be volume 1.
Okay.
And so I think once issue 5 is in the can and we're sort of, you know, well in and Boy's drawing issue 6, then we'll start looking into that kind of stuff. Right now the priority is just to make the book the best we possibly can, and hopefully the rest just comes.
Yeah, because it's such a great book. I always wonder, because I've seen some people take their stuff from Monkey Brain and make a hardcover out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other come out with paper trades. Do you have a preference of how you'd want to do this?
Probably just a regular trade would be. I would be, you know, a nicely printed trade with lots of. I'm a huge fan of, like, supplemental material, So I'd want to make sure that we have a good amount of cool stuff, whether it's script or, like, there's so many character designs, you know, from especially for Captain Ultimate himself, like when we were still working out what he was going to look like. So all that kind of stuff would be great. And the teasers that we've done, we have a bunch of pinups. Issue number 5 is going to have a pinup or like a sketch from Chris Somney, which I'm super, super excited about because it's just, mm-hmm. it's just so great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, there's plenty of material that we could pack the trade with. But as far as like hardcover versus softcover, I would assume that we'd go softcover first.
I would say so because it's more likely that a kid could afford a paper trade paperback than a hardcover.
Right, exactly. And that, you know, I would even be fine doing the sort of digest size, but I guess that's probably out of our hands and depends on, you know, the publisher and stuff like that. So
now this book screams to me of animated show.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys thought about venturing into like animation? Because like the Hub and Disney XD and also even Cartoon Network are skewing towards a younger audience.
Right.
And this feels to me like this could very easily fit on any of those networks.
Oh, I agree with you. This is Saturday morning cartoon all over it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If anyone from Cartoon Network is listening to this, please get in touch because I would love to talk to you.
That would be fun because this, I could see this going very easily on any of those networks.
Yeah.
Very, very easily. So, well, a couple other questions real quickly.
Sure.
Ratcliffe, who knows the origin of Captain Ultimate.
Ooh, you caught on to that. How does she know?
Yeah,
we didn't address that. But
no, and then she runs off and decides she has to get a bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows that, and of course she's – another thing that gave me the feel of that she's got that press tag in her hat.
Yep.
You know, and stuff like that. So she kind of feels to me like she's going to come back as well as he has. Now, and of course, I don't want to get spoiled. I'm just conjecturing here. But there's whole kinds of things going on with that. You ended the origin story with one of those crocodile-type aliens
yep.
under a bush, and we haven't seen it since. And we haven't seen her since either. And so I'm kind of going, you know, for me, I'm going like, wow. I like when people do that. I like when people plant little seeds that they'll come back later on for mm-hmm. me to get. And that's the way that television is these days. There's no point in making everything totally self-contained. I mean, if we never see them again, that'll be fine because it was the exclamation point of that story.
Right.
You know, so, I mean,
this is a weird comparison to make, but I don't know if you were a fan of The Sopranos, mm-hmm. but they did that a lot. Like, they would introduce things that are like threads that maybe never got picked up on at any point down the line. And we have plans. Everything so far that we've sort of teased or seeded or whatever, we have an end game in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But for The Sopranos, I think they showed that you can, just like real life, things start and then never get finished. You know, there's open ends everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that show that I really liked was that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that can work in storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Captain Ultimate goes, like the Ricky Ratcliffe and all that stuff, we have definite plans for. And I will say, if you notice, there are a few, you know, besides Captain Ultimate and Ultimate, there are a few other characters that have the old school Bende coloring to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a reason for that.
Okay.
And Ricky may or may not be one of those characters, and
okay.
as well as Doctor Destruction.
So keep reading.
So keep reading, and we'll get to it.
Great. I like that stuff. Do you have like an end point in mind for this, or do you kind of see this going on for as long as you guys have stories to tell?
I think we joke about like how we talked. This is going to happen in issue 300 or whatever. But we have an end point in terms of the sort of reveals that we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the nature of the characters and of this world is that it's a superhero universe. It can mm-hmm. you can do whatever. Mm-hmm. So even if we do reach that point where we've, you know, revealed everything we had planned on revealing, mm-hmm. I think there's more stories to tell. As long as we have ideas, I think we're down to do this for as long as we can afford to do it, and as long as people are interested in reading it.
So you're going to tell us where he's been for all this time, eventually, hopefully.
Yep. All that stuff is all plotted out at some point down the line.
I like that. I like when a storyteller knows where we're going. You can really feel that in a book sometimes. I mean, when people are just sort of meandering around and it never really gets anywhere, you get bored with it. But I think one of the reasons that Captain Ultimate is so good is the fact that you do know where you're going and you have ideas before the book ever hits the stand of what you're going to do next.
Yeah, I think to some degree you need that. But on the flip side, you also want to keep it loose enough where you can sort of improvised. If you get a really great idea, you know, you're like, well, we can't do this in this issue, so let's push this to there and do that later and focus on this in the meantime. Like that just happened. We were plotting out like issue 8 or something, and we just came up with a fun idea that wasn't our original intention. But so as long as you keep it freeform in that way and still stay on track to some degree, I think it works out okay.
Well, you can be flexible as well as somebody who has a plan to go. If you don't have a plan of where you're going, you can just you know that you can feel it from the book.
Right.
But from the first time I read this book and the fact that you did that and you didn't explain it, where he'd been all this time, and why did he come back at that moment? You know, that all this stuff like that makes me want to keep reading because I want to know that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
I like nothing better than being teased. I like to be pulled along. I don't want to be spoiled. I want to keep reading and find out more and more good stuff. And a good story will do that to you. It'll keep you coming back for more.
Exactly.
And I think that's what Captain Ultimate really does. I see all ages sitting down and reading this, and I see, you know, kids saying to their parents, well, what happened? Why did that happen? And the parent would have to say, well, they haven't told us yet.
Exactly. You know, and that's something we really like. I always reference The Rocketeer in the fact that any of those books, you can pick up any Rocketeer story, and as long as you know, like, oh, this is a guy with a jetpack, like, you're good to go, and you can figure it out because they're all, like, sort of self-contained. And so we wanted to take that sort of that mentality to Captain Ultimate, but at the same time still have these little seeds and these sort of longer plot threads that if you are reading the series as a whole, it'll tie together nicely. But if you just happen to read issue 4 or whatever, like it's still going to be a worthwhile, fun story.
You know, I noticed that you don't have to read them all in order to understand everything that's going on.
Right.
And I like that. You still get more out of it if you do, but it's not required that you read them all in order to enjoy what's going on.
Exactly.
So I like that. That's good stuff.
Thank you.
This is just what I kind of hope for. And see, this is the kind of thing that monkeybraincomics.com can allow people to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 99 cents.
Yeah.
You know,
steal.
You know, you get this, all this hard work goes into it. And of course, later on, hopefully you'll make your money too through other means by publishing it and all those things like that.
Right.
But the great thing about it is you guys are telling a great story for 99 cents. You just can't go wrong.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that goes for all of the Monkey Brain books. Like there's not one single Monkey Brain book that they've put out that I haven't bought and enjoyed, you know, and the asking price is so super low that there's no reason if something interests you about the book, like whether it's the creator or you just like the way the cover looks or the concept or whatever, might as well just give it a shot because chances are, their track record is very, very good, and it's so cheap that what do you if you got to lose, really, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, I like the variety. Your book versus, let's say, something more serious, like Masks and Mobsters
right.
and stuff like
I
that.
I love that book.
Oh, I do, too. I got to interview Mr. Williamson about that, which was a great book. But how different are these two books, you know, from each other?
Right.
And the great thing is Monkey Brain is this umbrella that lets you guys tell these very different stories. And for me, I think I miss that, to be honest with you, on the stands these days.
Yeah, everyone sort of has their niche now, whether it's, you know, I mean, maybe Image less so, but like Vertigo, like you know what a Vertigo book is sort of going to be like, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what they do better than anybody else. I love Vertigo. But at the same time, there's like less variety. If you're looking for a publisher that handles all of your interests, really the only option I would say, and I'm a little biased, but you know, Monkey Brain is that publisher right now.
Well, I have to agree to that because, you know, I didn't know about it until about a year ago and then I picked up on it and man, I started buying and downloading a whole bunch of stuff because I started to enjoy them and the variety is one of my big things.
Right.
And so for me to be able to get – I looked at the cover of Captain Ultimate. I said, you know, that looks like a fun book. I'm going to have to really have a go at that one. So I'm glad I did because there's so many good things out there that Monkey Brain Comics does. And I just – you know, you guys are doing a great book, and boy, I hope you keep up with it.
Thank you.
Now, do you have any ideas when issue 5 is going to come out?
Boy's working on issue 5 right now. It's about halfway done, I would say. And what we'll probably end up doing is, if you remember back in August, there was no issue because issue 1 came out in July. Issue 2 came out in September. So in August, we released this free PDF that was an old Captain Ultimate pulp adventure, like a prose adventure that we wrote for totally free. You can get it on CaptainUltimate.wordpress.com. Just sort of to fill the gap of not having an issue released that month. So we'll probably do something similar for November, and then hopefully issue number 5 will be out in December.
Cool. As far as other things are going on, are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of?
Yeah, actually, well, I don't know how closely you know what I did before, but before I was working at IGN, and I just recently left about a month ago to make comics full time. So I do have a lot of stuff in the works that nothing I'm prepared to talk about yet. It's just sort of lots of creator-owned stuff that I'm hopefully will get traction on. But one thing I do have is my pawn shop graphic novel, which I kickstarted last summer. It's scripts have been done for a while, and the artist Sean Von Gorman has been plugging away at it, and so he's just about done. It's super delayed, and we apologize sincerely. But life happens sometimes.
So that's
almost done, and that's a slice of life graphic novel about four different characters in New York City that all their lives intertwine unknowingly through this one New York City pawn shop. So each chapter is focused on a different character, and you'll see certain events from different angles and get different perspectives on it. And I'm really proud of that, and Sean's turning in great work, and so that'll be out soonish. And Ben and I are actually going to write a all-ages graphic novel this fall. Well, I guess it's fall now, but that's something we're going to work on. And there's tons of other stuff I can't talk about, but I'm very excited about it.
Well, that's actually a good sign when you can't talk about it. That means it's actually happening.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good thing. Now, Pawn Shop, is that going to be in stores, or is that going to be digital? How's that going to come out?
We're self-publishing, so right now it's probably just going to be, you can buy it from us. I do want to get it on Amazon and stuff. I am going to shop it around if I can to any publishers that might be interested. But it'll definitely be digital. And what I'll probably do is end up breaking it up into chapters for digital. So you can buy like issues 1 through 4, and then you can get the collected edition on Amazon or whatever. That's the plan right now. Could change, but that's what I'm planning.
Well, that's life for you.
Right.
Now, you also did a thing called Footprints that I find interesting, Murder Mystery Noir.
Yes.
Is that available now?
That is available. That's available on Comixology for $3. So it's like 100 pages for $3, or you can get the trade on Amazon. I think it's 11 or it's between 11 and 15. I don't remember, to be honest with you, but it's a black and white noir miniseries with art co-created with an artist named Jonathan Moore, who's just fantastic. It's about Bigfoot as a private detective, and his brother, the Yeti, is brutally murdered up in the Arctic.
Oh, I've read this.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was it. This is 215 Inc., right?
Yep.
I read this. Yeah. Oh, man, I like that a lot.
Thank you.
I didn't realize that was your thing. What a great story that was. I couldn't wait for the next issue. They went to the Antarctic or the Arctic, and they were in this. Oh, yeah, man, I like that story. That was great.
Thank you so much. So yeah, that trade came out earlier last year, and it was did pretty well. People seemed to responded to it. I wrote a one shot that Jonathan's going to be doing, so I don't know if we're going to kickstart that or what. But it's a one shot story with two different stories in it. So one is sort of before the events of the first volume of Footprints. So it's like in the 60s when the group was still sort of together before they broke up, and then the second story is after the first volume of Footprints. So it's after all that stuff went down and what they're up to now. And it's just like it's sort of like a monster of the week. No pun intended, I guess, about a new investigation that they're on. So
yeah, I'd like to see more of that. That was enjoyable. I like that a lot.
Thank you so much.
That'd be great, man. I got to keep tabs on that because I'd like to read more of that story. That was fascinating to me.
It's coming eventually.
Good. Oh, good. Good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Well, Joey, I want to wish you all a lot of luck and a lot of success, because I think Captain Ultimate and the other projects you're working on are great stuff, and I highly recommend them to anybody who wants to read a good story or something a little different compared to what's out in the market. Boy, this is a thing to read, Captain Ultimate and Footprints and all these other good things. So, man, Joey, keep it up. It's good stuff.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. as a man. From flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. There's quite a lot of news to get to this week, so let's get started. The first thing is, it's always sad news to report that a legendary comic artist has died, and that was Nick Cardy recently. He died at the age of 93. He's known probably best for the Teen Titans and Aquaman, which I read as a kid growing up, and I thought it was wonderful stuff. He had a very dynamic style that I think is continuing to influence comics today, and probably will for generations to come. So we're going to miss you, Mr. Cardy. You did great stuff. Also coming out recently were the October numbers, and there was some interesting stuff to go on with. Probably the biggest headline is the fact that Image had the number one issue of the month. That was Walking Dead number 115. The rest of the top 10 were Batman 24, number 3 was Infinity 4, then Forever Evil number 2, Infinity number 5, Justice League number 24, Superman Wonder Woman number 1, The Sandman Overture number 1, Superior Spider-Man number 20, followed by Superior Spider-Man number 19 at the last or the 10th spot. It looks like this time DC won the retail market share at 31.02%, but Marvel took the unit market share for 33.63%, although by not much. DC actually had 33.15%, so it's about a half of a percentage point. So that's kind of an interesting development. The new titles shipped, DC Entertainment shipped the most with 129, Marvel shipped 113, IDW was next with 77, Image shipped 76, and Dark Horse 56. We get to Dynamite Entertainment at 42, Boom Entertainment at 28, and we go down from there. The comparative statistics were that October actually sold a little less than September, about half of a percentage point. The graphic novels were up by about 16.62%. Total comics and graphic novels were actually up by about 0.55%. Now, compared to last year, comics were up 8.69% in units and 11.9% in dollars. Graphic novels fell about 5% in far as dollars go, but they were up about 0.05% in units. Finally, the total numbers for comics and graphic novels, dollars was up 6.36%. And in units, 7.98%. So that's pretty good. As far as year-to-date goes, from 2013 to 2012, it's been up 12.42% in dollars from last year, and 9.46% as far as units go. The top 10 graphic novels and trade paperbacks start out with Death of the Family, the Batman hardcover volume 3. Then we go to Avengers, Endless Wartime, and then the Joker, Death of the Family hardcover. And then Batman, the Court of Owls book and mask set, which is great stuff. I happened to get one of those and I liked it. Then number 5 is Avatar, The Last Airbender volume 6, The Search part 3. The 6th book was Hellboy, Midnight Circus hardcover. The 7th was Batman volume 2, The City of Owls trade paperback. Then the 8th book was Lazarus volume 1 trade paperback, followed by Saga volume 1 and Saga volume 2 to round out the top 10. Looks like the industry is still growing slowly, and that's a good thing. I'd rather it was going this direction than another. So this is good news, I think, going forward. We'll see how November does. By the time you hear this podcast, Thor will have been out the entire weekend, and it's Thor the Dark World. But it's off to a good start as I'm recording this. It took in $7.1 million on Thursday, and that was about twice as much as it did in the first movie with Thor in it. So it could be a really good sign, and it might not. We'll find out. You'll probably know when this episode airs that how things went over the weekend. But it's probably going to do very well. They're estimating that it could come in to about $152.8 million. That's pretty good considering that the first Thor didn't do that. So we'll see. Thor might be doing really well and to kick off the holiday season. There's interesting news as far as there's a new Red Lantern coming, and there's going to be a Green Lantern and Red Lantern February flip book. It's going to combine Green Lantern 28 and Red Lanterns 28 in a special Lights Out flipbook edition of both titles. Books designed to get both issues in as many readers' hands as possible, according to Green Lantern writer Robert Venditti. He says that DC believes in the story so much that that's what's happening. This is one piece, but a very significant piece of the aftermath of Lights Out, says Venditti. It's going to impact not just the Lantern titles, but the entire DC universe. This project is total comics fun, too, added Red Lantern writer Charles Soule. I mean, anytime you get reds and greens in the same place, sparks are going to fly. And here you get them literally in the same issue. It's impossible not to read. The book will sell for $2.99, so you actually get two for the price of one in there. And the headline is that there's going to be a new Red Lantern. And it's supposed to be surprising. But DC and the writers are mum on this, so we'll just have to wait and find out who the new Red Lantern is, coming out in February. As the holiday season begins, there's an interesting book coming out about the Krampus. Now, if you know anything about holiday legends and things like that, the Krampus is a child-punishing demon of holiday lore. If you've been a bad kid, the Krampus is going to appear and make your life miserable as opposed to Santa Claus, who gives gifts. So he's kind of the opposite number of Santa Claus. What's going to be happening is Brian Joynes and Dan Coates team up to add a frosty touch to the festive season with their spin on old St. Nick and his demon counterpart in Krampus with an exclamation point on it. Father Christmas and the rest of the secret society of Santa Clauses have to rely on his help because they've lost their powers and he's the only one left with any kind of power. Is he going to be helping them or hurting them? That's the question. So it'll be kind of interesting to see. The final orders for Krampus will be due on 11/18 and it'll be arriving in stores on 12/11 in time for the holidays. And that's the news for this week. Let's have a look at the books that are coming out on Wednesday, November 13th. And by the way, I'd like to mention that the full list will be available on Monday at majorspoilers.com, so don't miss that. I'm kind of just commenting on the stuff that grabs my attention. From Dark Horse Comics, we get something called Clown Fatale number 1. Is that like Fatale that is being made by other folks? Clown Fatale. I don't know what that is, so it might be worth a look at just because I don't know. A great book that Dark Horse Comics puts out is Resident Alien Suicide Blonde number 3. What a wonderful book that has been. It's very much like Concrete in that it's a lot more drama than it is superhero action. And I kind of like that sometimes. So I would highly recommend Resident Alien Suicide Blonde number 3. Then we also get from DC a couple of Aquaman stories. Aquaman Volume 2, The Others, $14.99, and the hardcover of Volume 3, Throne of Atlantis, for $24.99. For people who don't like the New 52, there's Astro City number 6. There's also Batgirl 25 and Batman 25, both of which are 0 years. And boy, that has gone very well. I really like what's going on with that. There's Batman Arkham Unhinged number 20, Batman Little Gotham number 8, Constantine number 8, Forever Evil, Arkham War number 2, Green Lantern Corps number 25, which is also a 0 year tie-in. How about that? Injustice Gods Among Us Annual number 1, and the hardcover for Volume 1 for $19.99. Then there's Justice League of America, which also ties into Forever Evil. And then we have Justice League of America's Vibe number 9, which unfortunately I believe is being canceled. I'm so sorry about that. Katana number 9, another 0 year tie-in with Nightwing 25. Then we get the Silver Age Teen Titan Archives Volume 2. There's also Smallville Season 11 number 19, another Forever Evil tie-in, and Suicide Squad number 25. Superboy number 25, Superman Wonder Woman number 2. Boy, didn't that go over big time. I like that book a lot. And there's World's Finest number 17. We go to IDW Publishing, and they have Doctor Who Prisoners of Time number 11, the next to the last issue in their celebration of Doctor Who's 50th anniversary. Then we have Star Trek Con number 2, Star Trek Ongoing Trade Paperback Volume 6 about the After Darkness having to do with the movie. There's also Star Trek Stardate Hardcover, $49.99. So if you've missed some of these, you can always go back and catch up on those. There's Triple Helix number 2 as well. From Image, we get Bounce number 7, which is a very interesting little book. I like that. I got a chance to catch up on it recently. There's also Chew Smorgasbord Edition Hardcover Volume number 1, $100 for that one. I like Chew a lot. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fork over the $100, though. Then there's also Manhattan Projects number 16. There is 3 number 1 with the second printing and 3 number 2. There's also Walking Dead number 116, which I'm sure is percolating real well now that the show is back on the air. We get to Marvel and we find All New X-Men number 18. And that's the only one from Marvel this month that really kind of grabs my attention. There's Superior Spider-Man Man number 21, which still creeps me out. But if you like that book, boy, it'll be out this week. Comics from other companies include Three Guns number 4, which is a follow-up from Two Guns, which became a motion picture. I like that book a lot, and I also like the Three Guns follow-up. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm going to have to. Now, there's something interesting called Atomic Sheep graphic novel. I don't know how sheep get atomic, but that might be something worth looking at. It's $18.99, so we'll see what that turns out to be. Battlestar Galactica number 5, Bionic Woman trade paperback volume 1, Mission Control, Codename Action number 3, Deathmatch number 11 from Boom. I like that book. I really have been enjoying that. I hope you've been reading it too. There's Harbinger number 18 from Valiant, always a good book. And also there's Unity number 1, speaking of Valiant, and $3.99 Braithwaite cover. That should be really good, so I like to see that. I can't wait to get into that one, because that's going to be sort of their Justice League, and I'm kind of interested in how that's going to go. And those are the books that'll be out this week. And that's a wrap for this episode. Be back next week when I'll have an interview with Sahib Awan, a creator of comics who's made a great book called Jinrise, which is being published by IDW. We'll talk about a lot of things, including diversity in comics, so be sure to be here. But until then, keep reading your comics.